Remember when the paperless office came in? Brilliant, wasn't it? To think we used to use all that paper. Well, it was supposed to happen. But looking around this building, actually looking around this studio, there aren't many offices or desks that would match that description. And actually, in a way, it's worse, because not only have we still got paper everywhere, we also have digital files in our computers. And that can be a right mess. Cyril Perpignan, who coaches senior executives to work more efficiently, is here to help. He's written a book for the rest of us called Work Smarter, Live Better, and he joins me in the studio. Welcome, Cyril.
Thanks very much. Welcome.
Email. How do you get control of it? I was looking at mine this morning, rather dispiritedly, it has to be said.
Well, when you mentioned a very interesting thing, you mentioned that 10 years ago we were moving to email and people were talking about paperless office there.
People were talking about a paperless office 20 years ago. It still hasn't turned up.
No, it's worse. Email not only hasn't reduced the number of the number of paper, it has increased it.
Because we print it.
Because we print it. Because we send documents that we print.
Yep.
So the funny thing is, you go around desk today, what do you see? A mess on the desk, and then you open the email and you see a mess in the email there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask you a very simple guess. I keep a track of the worst inbox I've ever seen.
Right.
In term of number of email read and unread in an inbox.
Right.
Have a guess. How many email in an inbox have I seen in years of coaching people?
I don't know, a few hundred, I suppose.
55,000.
55,000?
55.
Hang on, in one person's account.
My gold medal had 55,000. My bronze had 33,000. And my number three had 28,000. That just gives you an idea. A few hundreds, well, you're far off.
If you've got 55,000 emails that you haven't dealt with, are you doing your job? I mean, how can you be?
Well, you could be doing your job, but it creates a lot of stress for people because it creates a lot of inefficiency and a lot of stress. The stress is whenever they look at their inbox, they look at that and they feel guilty and it stresses them. You'll be surprised, Richard, how often when we coach, I'm talking people at every level, and we clean their inbox and suddenly they see the white page. You know, suddenly at the end of the inbox, you see a white.
Yes, yes.
They love it. So the stress level suddenly lifts by that. The other danger is suddenly you've got an email which was very important. You haven't dealt with it and it's gone down
and
down.
It's disappeared, yes.
It disappeared.
I want to ask you what we can do about that. But just before we do, the other thing that occurs to me is I have a Gmail account as well.
Yes.
And the thing about Gmail is that you get all this free storage.
Yeah.
And although, I mean, I delete the ones that I can, but it does mean you can kind of let things get very out of hand, doesn't it? I've got a few files or labels, they're called, but I probably have maybe 800 emails, not that I haven't read, but that are still in the system. And,
yes.
And they probably don't need to be.
The interesting thing is, again, we're making the comparison between paper and emails. I see the same problem with paper and worse on email. Just a quick thing on paper. When you look at desk, people keep so many things they shouldn't be keeping. There's some very interesting survey and research that show that 85% of what you keep with paper, you will never come back to it again.
Really?
85%. Now, my experience is email, is I'm ready to push that number to 95%, if not more. Well, think about the number of email that we keep, the 55,000, even the few hundreds. How many of those hundreds and hundreds, one day you will go back? Very little. That's the main problem.
All right. How do I deal with it? What are the approaches? What can you do every day?
Okay. Three simple trick. Very simple. Number one, batch. What do I mean by batch? Decide once, twice, three times a day that you're going to do your email.
Right.
In between, do not look at it. Close your inbox.
Really?
Well, imagine. On average, people are receiving 60, 70 emails a day. Now, imagine something. Imagine that your postman comes with the snail mail, with the real letter. But rather than coming with 60 letters every morning, imagine that this postman comes every 5 minutes and say, Richard, you have a new letter. And then 5 minutes after, Richard, you have a new letter.
Yes.
You'll kill the guy at the end of the day.
Yeah, either that or start some unbeknownst to me affair. I mean, that's the thing,
yes,
isn't it? You're going to see a lot of them.
I like your way of thinking. But what I'm trying to say there is, my first advice is batch your email.
Yep.
Batch the time you're doing your email. Not first thing in the morning. When your brain is fresh, use it for something else. 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and you spend half an hour and you do email.
Okay, that's the first thing.
First advice. Second advice, when you touch an email, you're not allowed to let it go. You're not allowed to leave it in your inbox. Right. Simple rule.
So if you read it, you have to do something with it.
Well, two case. You read it and you've got nothing to do. You've just read it, done. Delete a file straight away.
Right.
You read it and you have something to do about it. If it's quick, less than 5 minutes, do it now. Get it out of the way. Why? You don't have the time to come 3 or 4 or 5 times on the same email and ask yourself the same question. That's called multiple handling. Don't multiple handle.
Okay.
Touch an email once, less than 5 minutes, out of the way, forward, send, reply. More than 5 minutes.
Yep.
Let's say you bump into that email. Oh, that's a very important one. I need to spend half an hour responding to it.
Yes.
Schedule it.
Right, so put it in your diary.
Exactly. And with Outlook, a lot of people are using Outlook for email.
Yes, yes.
Outlook has also a great tool. You can drag and drop an email. You can take an email and drag it physically in your calendar, let it go, and it will open a calendar entry, a meeting with yourself to do that. So simple rule, less than 5 minutes, do it now. More than 5 minutes, schedule it and out of your inbox.
Right, okay. You said there were three things, I think.
The third thing is the practice. I'm a very, and through all through the book, my main logic is I don't want to annoy people just with principle. I'm really insisting on what you need to do to practice. So you keep the simple third one, you keep the simple thing in mind. From today,
yep.
Whenever I touch an email, I'm not allowed to let it in my inbox. I have to make a decision. So from on the practice side,
yep.
You play the game for the next 2 weeks. I touch an email.
Yep.
I am not allowed to let it in my inbox. I have to make a decision, do it or schedule it, and then move it, file it somewhere else.
Right. So you need to set up some files if you don't have them already.
Exactly. Then you need to organize your filing system. That's completely true.
All right. Now, apparently there are, well, you mentioned that, dragging an email into your diary.
Calendar, your diary.
There are other tricks, aren't there, with Outlook that people like me don't even know.
Yes. I mean, Outlook is a great tool, and I think we're only using 5-10% of the possibility of Outlook. I think the important thing to understand about Outlook or Lotus, for people using Lotus, or your paper diary, it doesn't really matter. The important thing to understand is it's only a tool. It's what you do with this which is important.
Uh-huh.
The very important thing to understand is our brain are fantastic for creativity. Our brain are amazing tools for thinking, for planning, for creating. But our brain are very poor for planning and organizing all our tasks. Let me explain. If I said to my brain, I need to remember that in 3 weeks' time, I need to give a call to Richard.
Mm.
I cannot guarantee that in 3 weeks' time, on Thursday at 2 o'clock, my brain will say, Cyril, time to call Richard.
Probably what you'd get is, I'm supposed to be doing something.
Exactly. And in the middle of the day or in the middle of the night or under my shower.
Yeah.
So your brain keep it for thinking and have a tool. Outlook is a great one for organizing your task, your time, your email. And that's Outlook.
On Life Matters Today, my guest is Cyril Perpillon. He's a consultant. He coaches people, especially senior executives, to work more efficiently. We've been talking about email. He's the author of Work Smarter, Live Better. Can I ask, I suppose, a wider question about work? Because how prepared are we for work, especially when we start with this increasing set of tools that we've got? How well prepared are we to kind of deal with that?
It's a really interesting point. I think we're not very well prepared. I'll put it in a different way. I think a lot of people have never been taught how to work. What I mean by that is, when we go to school, when we go to university, we learn a qualification. You become a doctor, you become an engineer, and then one day you start working.
Mm.
You're given a desk, you're given a computer, you're given some responsibilities, priorities, whatever you want to do, and here you go. And how you organize all that? Your file, your email, your Outlook, your time, your priorities, most people learn on the go.
Yes.
And they learn habits which are not best practice. They don't learn the best habits there. Most people have never been shown how to work there. It will surprise you. We coach in our business. We coach from very large company to very small mums and dads in an office.
Yep.
From CEOs all the way to very junior people. You'll be surprised when we coach a very high-level CEOs, MDs, general manager in a big office, they face exactly the same problem. They don't know the simple rule about what I call efficiency and effectiveness or simple work habits.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Because it seems to me that, I mean, not all jobs are different, but you can get caught up in things and end up not focusing on what you need to focus on.
Again, very good point. When I ask people and say, why am I here in front of you? You've asked me to meet with you. Why are you struggling? They come with always two things. They come with, Cyril, on one side, I know my priority. Hmm. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what really is important for me. But look at the number of email I'm receiving. But look at the number of meeting I have to do. But look at my day-to-day.
That's it.
And it's this constant balance between our priority on one side and our day-to-day, between what we call proactiveness and reactiveness, between all the things that really we're supposed to do, strategy and so on, and what we're really doing. This is the biggest challenge there. The impact, in my view, is not only on performance. The impact, and that's why I call this book Work Smarter, Live Better, because for me, and I've seen it hundreds of times, the impact on work-life balance, the impact on stress is huge, in my view, there.
Mm. I think meetings are bad for people.
Yeah.
I really do. I think they make people unhappy, unless you can be very efficient about them. I'm fortunate. There's many reasons I'm fortunate in this job. One of them is that there is one meeting a week that I really must go to. But I've got colleagues who've got six or seven a day.
Yes.
And they're less happy than me.
I'll tell you an interesting one. I was working with the director of a very large financial institution here in Australia. And to explain the problem you're talking about, he did a very simple thing. He took his BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed me his calendar and his BlackBerry. And there was meeting, 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 meeting. And I'll never forget.
And that was just for the morning.
Just for the day. Nightmare for the day. And I'll never forget his question. Cyril, when am I supposed to do my job?
That's it.
Back-to-back meeting. And he said, I have to work at night, in the weekend. Has an impact on my work. Has an impact on my life. I don't see my kids enough. I don't see my wife enough. And we're talking about a high flyer, a high performer. When am I supposed to do my job? I think the important thing is to realize that we place a lot of value on money, but not a lot of time. Let me explain. If I said to you, give me $500, you would say, why? Why should I give you $500? Give me a good reason, Cyril, what's going to be my return on investment? Why shouldn't you do the same thing with your time? Can you give me an hour of your time? Why?
Right.
Give me a good reason. What's the return on my investment?
There is a lot more of this. Some very interesting, because you say it's common sense, but it's not commonly practiced,
yes.
A lot of this. Thank you. It's there's a lot of tips in this. Thank you very much for joining me today.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Cyril Perpignan is the author of Work Smarter, Live Better. You'll find details on the website abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. There is a lot of good stuff in there.